Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Bingity bong, whatever, bing, bing, bong, it's suggestible time.
That's true.
Hello, my name is Claire Tonti, James Clement is here also. We are married and we recommend you things to watch, read and listen to. Why have you turned into a gremlin today?
I'm always a gremlin.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just had never noticed before. I've been living with a gremlin for years and years.
Yeah, I'm going to shrivel up more into a gremlin as I get older. Just a little grey gremlin.
What do you mean? As you get older, I feel like this time has already arrived.
Well, as I continue to be the age that I am, which is old, and then get older even again beyond.
Oh, God. You're getting worse. You're going to get worse than this.
Yes.
Holy shit.
What, you think I'm going to get better? Nobody gets better.
I think that I have got better with age, though I feel like I could be approaching my peak and it's all sliding downhill. My son took this video of me this morning. Oh, God. I don't know if this happens to any other parents out there. But you walk around thinking you look like a normal person, mm-mm, and then your child takes a photo or video of you and you look like you have no neck and you're an old person. And he usually always takes videos and footage of me when I'm in bed, like because I'm vulnerable and he's just waking
Nobody
me up.
Nobody looks good in bed.
And my neck is like sliding into my chin and I just look like I've lost all the will to live.
Well, you know, truth hurts.
Mainly more, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, let's talk about some things. We like to recommend you things to watch, read and listen to. We're cutting down on the recommendations. We're doing one or two,
yeah,
one
each. To streamline.
We are. We certainly are. And so this week we have a few. First up, though, I have some opinions.
Oh, wow.
Unlike me.
Well, I don't have any opinions.
New thoughts, new me, new suggestible.
Let's go.
All right. My opinion is Aiden in this, and just like that, arrived in the episode that most recently came out, mm-hmm, and I'm sorry for anyone who doesn't watch the show and know who Aiden is, but goddamn, he looks good, except he's wearing a very silly jacket.
I think his jacket looks cool for a man
it's
who's
so
62.
It's silly. Why is it tapered in and it's too short and it's like high a collared? It's just wrong. It's a wrong jacket. It's wrong, and Patricia Fields would never have let that happen. And it's wrong, wrong, wrong. For those who don't know, Patricia is the previous wardrobist of Sex and the City.
And upcoming for one particular scene.
Scene she's probably got paid like $1 zillion for. And the only person from the original cast, I feel, who is sided with King Petrel in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that Aiden was wearing a ridiculous jacket, I loved that whole scene.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved that whole episode. It felt like a return of ye old Sex and the City.
Do you think that's also because they brought back two characters that you know?
No. Partly, because it wasn't even that long a scene with Aiden. I actually think it's because they had a lot of Anthony in it.
Yeah,
and
it's cool,
like,
yeah,
he was hilarious,
yeah,
and fun.
He had some good moments.
Some real quips. I felt like Shay and Miranda broke up, which, thank God, because I felt like for the first time Miranda was much more closer in the writing to her original character, which I think is partly to do with the writing from Samantha Irby, because she is diehard Sex and the City fan. I've heard her on a podcast and she really understands those characters inside out, as so many of us do who've watched that series so many times. And you could tell because the Miranda in that episode is like kind of unhinged and funny. And it's also very dark because she's kind of divorcing Steve at the same time. And finally, they seem to have some narratives where she and Steve actually talk to each other and have conversations that people actually would have if they were going through what they're going through.
Do you think they put it off on purpose so they could like get to it down the line, or do you think they just forgot? Like, what do you think?
Oh, God, I don't know, because I don't know what they were thinking for most of it, because it's atrocious.
He does feel
writing
more like Steve from previous seasons.
Yeah, because Samantha Irby, I reckon.
Yeah, as opposed to the first season where he was just an old man.
I know.
Which I can relate to.
But no, even the first series he felt like a caricature, but this series he barely featured
up
until this episode.
Yeah.
And
did you like him with his shirt off?
Yeah, I did. You're looking so good.
Not looking like a gremlin.
But I also just felt like for the majority of this season, before this most recent episode, it did not feel at all like Miranda was experiencing anything real.
Yeah.
Like all of that Shay stuff did not feel real.
Maybe that was the point. It was a Hollywood fantasy.
Maybe, but it took a bloody long time to get to some real proper emotional depth and writing that actually made any sense. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so no, I actually think that there was a few things in there that actually made you feel like all these characters and even just some of Carrie's lines in that episode around Aiden or before the Aiden thing just felt much more like her. Also, she does have that date in the episode before that with that tech guy that sort of felt a little more like a callback to her
old self.
That's true.
And Miranda had a little date with a guy.
With a woman.
Who's, I meant to say they're from the same show that you used to like.
Yeah, they are. They're both in that show. Yeah. What is that one?
Younger?
Younger.
Is
yeah,
it
correct.
Younger or the other one?
No, it's Younger. Yeah, which was, and they're both really great. Both of those actors are excellent. That is all to say, I feel like you should watch it if you haven't, just that episode to let me know what you think of Aiden's jacket. And also, I just thought, great storyline. What did you feel about that?
Do you think he's going to get his heart broken again? Because I think he should. I think that would be incredible that he comes back for the trifecta of getting his heart stomped on. And even he's like, he knows, like he feels like it's going to happen again. Cause she's like, come up to my apartment. And he's like, why do you
leave? And he's so makes it's like, that was such good writing. Cause it's like, yeah, of course he doesn't want to go back into the same apartment where he like bought half of it and like knocked down half a wall. And then it was awful. Of course.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Right.
He's very tall. And I think that's cool.
I think that's why you want him to get his heart broken again.
Yeah, that'll teach him. Giant freak. But
Whoa,
no,
that is so uncalled
I like
for.
Him more than Mr. Big. I always have.
Me
but
too.
But also I was reluctant for like, they're not real people, so who gives a shit? But like, do you want these people to get together because she's like treated him terribly again and again. And she literally got like hives from like dating him at one point. The thought of marrying him.
No.
I
don't know. I actually just feel like it's going to be another sort of storyline that will peter out. That's how I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want him shattered, Claire.
No.
I want his heart shattered for a third time. And he has to go crawling back
to where
to be.
I actually feel like maybe he's going to break Harry's heart this time.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting.
I think so, too.
That would be great for him. That would be a real victory.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that. Someone breaks your heart, then you come back and you fucking break their heart.
Oh,
and
God.
Imagine if he's like, I did this on purpose. I'm not even divorced. I lied about that so I could break your heart.
Terrible.
Yeah, I would love that.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. But I think for the first time in that whole series, I was like a glimmer of, oh, this isn't so bad. I watched the whole episode. Other ones I've sort of like had to skip through a little bit.
At least they're bringing in some like partners of people and people they're dating that are like interesting one-offs.
Yeah.
Which they haven't really done properly at all. It's like Carrie's dating a very boring man.
Gosh, the cardboard guy from her podcast
God,
thing.
He's so boring.
That was so, it was so boring. All the scenes
like
with him were
this
boring.
This person's talking to someone at a bar and you're like this boring person at a bar.
Such bad writing. The whole, most of it has been such atrocious writing.
But. Wait till that's one scene with Samantha.
It is still smug rich people being smug about it.
Yeah.
Which is so, they think that they're being escapist, but they're not. It's like gross.
I feel trapped.
Because people are going through so many hard things at the moment and that's not the kind of escapism they're wanting.
No.
They're not wanting, I don't think, that kind of like bold in your face, we have so much money we don't know what to do with, let me call a car and wear the Met Gala things. And I don't know, it just, let's move on.
Let's move on.
I've had enough.
I've got a recommendation.
Okay.
I've been meaning to talk about this for weeks, but of course you're away.
Ooh, it's so good.
It's a show called Deadlock. Have you finished it?
I have not finished it.
I'm not going to spoil it. It's Australian. It's created by Kate McCartney and Kate Lennon. Kate Lennon and McCartney. Kate McLennan, yeah, I think that's what I've done there, who are two great – well, they started in comedy.
Two amazing Australian comedians
they did
and writers.
A parody morning show called Get Crackin', which is really great. People might know Auntie Donna and them and a bunch of other like Australian comedians and that have featured on that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what they've done here, here's the synopsis. The town of Deadlock, Tasmania – Tasmania, if you don't know, is the southernmost state of Australia. It's an island. It's as close to like as Antarctica as you can get from, I don't know. Is it? In Australia at least. It's cold and it's a forest. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, it's preparing for its winter festival when a local man turns up dead. Two detectives and an eager constable are sent to investigate the crime. So it stars Kate Box, who you've met.
She's an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really obsessed with her. She's so funny and so cool and so awesome. Yeah.
Madeline Sami, Nina Oyama, Alicia Gardner, Tom Ballard. Incredible cast. And what's good about this, this is a great balance of like a your murder mystery that you might enjoy, you know what I mean, like a BBC whatever, you know, or and comedy. I think it balances that really, really well. So this town that this takes part in, it's been kind of partially transformed into this LGBTQIA plus kind of cosmopolitan haven, but it's only happened relatively recently. So there's the town is kind of like old school, kind of like country, you know, maybe not necessarily backwards thinking, but like, you know, the way things were probably more like 30, 40 years ago, you know? Mm. And so you got these two kind of dynamics
going
on.
Which I actually think is a really accurate representation of communities around the traps that are sort of partly gentrifying and cool with it. Like I think so many communities I've visited, like rural towns are like that. Like there's kind of this – like I went
What's that one just out of Melbourne?
Yakandanda that I went to recently is a really great example of that. There was sort of like Trump supporters alongside like really new age hippies. And it was like just very interesting.
People waving Trump flags?
They know what country they're in. Yeah, not waving, but they had like posters of him in their shop window and stuff.
What?
I know. Yeah, I don't know. But it's so interesting to me because that like that kind of people moving further out, particularly through COVID around here, so many people moved out to rural areas who are from inner city. So you then got this juxtaposition of like hardcore kind of locals who've been in an area for a long time and are quite conservative versus like, you know, inner city hippies who've done a tree change or a sea change.
Yeah.
I just think it's very accurate in a lot of ways and also obviously heightened and hilarious.
Absolutely. But, yeah. So that's cool. So that's like the setting of this town. So there's already this kind of like simmering kind of tension, you know. But it's also it's the kind of thing where this town has been like completely revitalized. You know, it's brought in tourism, like businesses are thriving, all of these things. So, you know, you got to kind of change to – hello, dog. You got to kind of change to, you know, to survive. On top of that also, it's got this rich indigenous history which has just been kind of wallpapered over by pretty much everybody in the town. So there's like seeds of that kind of – you know, rolling throughout this entire thing as well. So anyway, people start turning up dead and, like, it's very quickly established that this is probably a serial killer and it's just from there it unfolds about, you know, who this could potentially be, and obviously they go through your various suspects. I was constantly, like, second-guessing myself and I was just, like, wrong multiple times. I'm like, well, it's not that person, it's probably this person. I'm like, okay, it's not that person, maybe it's this person, you know. And I did that until, like, the reveal and I'm like, God damn it, I can't believe I missed that. But what I also think works really well here is the characters are really well fleshed out and the dynamics between everybody work so well and they're incredibly, like, comedic, and it's just everybody feels very distinct. It's not like the same person kind of copy and pasted it. They're very uniquely written, and in the way that they interact with other people is also reflective of that. Also, the two Kates, they write insufferable, like, really well. Like when you meet somebody who's like, oh, I hate this person, like they really write that well, but they can also flip it where you're like, oh, okay, I see why this person is like this and that's terrible, but also like I get it. And they even, you know, they'll turn you around on like somebody entirely, you know. There's so many people in this that you're just like, God, this person, I hate this person so much. I hope they get comeuppance and whatever.
Yeah.
It's gorier so far as like any kind of BBC murder procedural is. You might see a dong or two also, if you don't mind. It's on a dead body.
A dead one, yeah.
But you can see it. So, yeah, so it's not like you're not going to see serial killers like.
It's not very gory.
No.
It's not like slasher.
I would say it gets more intense as it kind of goes on, but you don't, it's more implied than you don't see specifics really. Anyway, it's 8 episodes. It's made locally, and I love it when something local comes out and that's good. I also think it's been good that it's released on Amazon Prime because that means, you know, it's got a bit of international traction as well.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Yeah.
I absolutely do. Do you know what else I think is great about it? Lesbians. I genuinely just think that these characters that they've written, it's mostly female-centric, the lead characters, right? And that is just a breath of jolly fresh air. I mean, Kate Box in general is so well cast in this, but also the entire cast of women. So Kate Box's character is a cop, obviously, yep. a detective, and she has a new kind of cop, sort of ends up being her partner who arrives in town, who's played by Madeline Sammy, and her character's called Eddie. And I think she is my favourite character of the whole
thing. She's so funny.
She's absolutely hilarious. It's queer revolutionary storytelling. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I just
enough.
Think the way she's written is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's awful and rude. Just like
probably smells bad.
Yeah, and just speaks in this like these like hilarious like obscure references. It's just so funny
also because she's from up north and she's been brought in for this investigation. She very desperately doesn't want it to be a serial killer because it means she'll have to stay for longer. So she spends like the first few episodes in like a tropical like Hawaiian shirt and shorts and like one thong and a cardboard shoe taped to her foot because she's doesn't like she's like I'm not. Getting warmer clothes. I'm not staying here. So then there comes a point where she's like, okay, I might be here for a while.
Yeah, she goes to the camp store and like talks to the dummies in there and like gets some warmer clothes and everything. Exactly. I think it's so hilarious. And it's also, I won't spoil it, but she also has real depth in
the, Yeah,
which is just like what you were talking about with the characters and the way that the Kates write them.
Yeah.
You sort of get spun around again on her in so many different ways. But the chemistry between her and Kate Box's character, who's really the straight man in this, in that, not literally, because she's playing the queer character. But yeah, exactly. And she's the one that kind of is sensing all the things going on and is trying to fight for her town.
Yeah.
And actually, and playing it very deadpan in a lot of ways. And that works so well in that context. It's just. There's so many layers to it that I just absolutely love. So I would just – I so recommend it. And it's just fresh.
It's a really fresh take
on the genre, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of outside of genre in a way.
Yeah. It's definitely like – you recognize like tropes in it, obviously.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But it's not one thing.
But it does feel fresh,
And it's just the female-centric storylines and the queer storytelling is just perfection. So cannot wait for you if you haven't seen it to watch it.
It sets up. Like it closes the storyline, but it does set up for a potential season two, which hasn't been announced yet, but hopefully.
I would be shocked if they didn't do a season two.
I mean, who knows?
It's hard. I mean, I guess.
Who knows with streaming?
Yeah, that's true. But really, it's done so well and had such great reviews. So you would think, hopefully, fingers crossed because it's
really awesome. Sorry, everybody,
We've just got dogs fighting.
We're just going to continue.
Studio.
They had two walks today.
I know.
Maybe we're making them too fit.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what is happening. I think it's the full moon. It's a full moon.
Ah, the full moon.
And everyone's gone a little kooky.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, what are we doing? What's next, Claire? Because I know you wanted to talk more about...
Yeah, so last week we talked about the epic gloriousness that was the Barbie movie.
Well, actually, I think it was bad. I've changed my mind. What do you think about that?
You raved about it and for very good reason. And we stopped at the end because we only had half an hour and you wanted to talk about why you thought it was such a great film for men, which I think is such an interesting point to be had because obviously you can look at it as like a feminist masterpiece and it's talking into the cultural expectations placed on women and you know, trying to unpack what it's like to live in a patriarchy. But I'm interested to know what you think about it from a male perspective.
Well, you dropped this on me just before the show. You said, are you going to talk about Barbie this week? And I'm like, we did talk about Barbie. And you're like, you know, you said how you think it's actually a good movie for men. And I went, I don't remember that. I haven't made any particular notes.
Okay, so let me read you a little. Yes, are you going to keep going?
No, you're going to jog my memory.
I am. So a lovely listener, Lewis Newstead, has written in. And I just thought I'd read the email first and then you can continue the conversation.
This is like me and Lewis telling everybody what's going on.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Lewis.
The topic of the email is called Barbie and the Manosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Incels for next week. I totally agree with what James said about Barbie being a pro-men movie. It has some really nuanced and sensitive depictions of masculinity and, I thought, a lot to say about the pool of toxic manosphere narratives. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to hearing you both talk about this next week.
Oh, my God.
So I have two.
But he doesn't have a take? He's leaving me out. He's leaving me out to hang. I'm drying.
You had a big take on it. So I have two suggestions. I wrote an essay on this side of Barbie, including a lyrical analysis of the Ken song for my blog that might be interesting to you.
Nice, love that.
And my second suggestion is the book Men Who Hate Women by Laura Bates. Last year I wrote my undergraduate dissertation on incels and the endemic blindness to violent misogyny, and this book was the genesis of that idea. It looks at how misogynist narratives from these extreme spaces penetrate all levels of our society, and it's so eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both for everything you do on the show. It's always a welcome treat in the feed every week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lewis, for writing.
Too great. We should get that blog and we'll link it.
We will. Yeah, I'll send it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Below. Yeah. From my perspective, and obviously I'm not a bloke, I'm a straight white lady, but to me, I think it did a really good job of showing men what it would be like to live in a world where everything's run by women.
Yes, but I would also say this. I don't think the men in this even have bad lives, because I know people talk about like Ken is emasculated and all of those things, but I don't think that's true. Like in this world that he lives in, this is before all the, you know, he goes to the real world. He's too reliant on Barbie. Like that's kind of the thing, you know, because the way he validates himself is if like Barbie like looks at him and acknowledges him, right? But he's like, he's treated well. You know, like I'm not saying he doesn't have like a great role in society. His job is beach, you know, that's like the joke. But he's like the toy, he's an accessory to Barbie because that is what Ken is. Like this isn't, so just from that perspective alone, it's like this is what Ken is. Ken's not, like, I can't remember who said this. Maybe it was you, but like you'd have like eight Barbies and maybe a Ken. You know?
Yes.
Maybe
correct.
One Ken.
Maybe.
Right?
I don't even know if I owned a Ken, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
But, you know, but he's not like disrespected, really. You know what I mean? Like he gets hurt and they talk about how brave he is and all of that. Do you know what I mean? And they like rally around him. So I think also, like, yeah, his life is not great, but I'm saying like he's not treated that badly, is my point. Also, he's a fucking toy. So, like, all these people are, it doesn't matter. But then I think from there, yeah, I think it's reflective of like, the manosphere stuff, it is a very slippery slope. And if you like TikTok will just like, or most of these social media sites, they'll just eventually take you into that to see if you're interested, you know?
What is the manosphere? I don't understand.
It's just like blaming feminism for everything. Not even feminism, it's just like women in general and like how it's about being how men are high value and like the more partners a woman have, or not even like the older they get, then they're not worth as much, whereas men. You know what I mean? It's got all these very specific rules about dating and how much money and women are only after your money and blah, 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 which I know there are people like that, like on any like sexuality spectrum. Like obviously there are people who are very superficial in that way, but I just think most people are just looking for somebody, you know, that they can, you know, share a life with, I'd imagine. So even if they don't really know that they're looking for that. And I think this movie does a good job of breaking that down and giving Ken at the end also something that he wants, like a sense of purpose, a sense of like being, he wears that shirt that says like the hoodie that's I'm Kenuff or whatever, Kenuff or whatever it says on it. You know, so I think it does, I mean, everybody in this movie is also an idiot. Like I don't think you could point to Ken and be like, he's a stupid person. Like they're all stupid, you know what I mean? Barbie gets, there's a moment where she comes, you know, when it, like everything's going badly and she just like falls in a heap, like the first challenges she's ever been presented with, you know what I mean? I don't think she's this like unstoppable bulletproof hero. I think they're all written flawed in, you know, in very interesting ways. For a toy, it's a toy movie. You just want to specify that.
Yeah.
Also, but the manosphere basically, yeah, so it's just this, it's a space that could be very easy to fall in it. To fall into, because,
and is that kind of what Ken does in the movie?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like
he hunts the real world, sees men running everything, finds what patriarchy is, and brings those ideas back to Barbie.
But the thing about that is, like, even in the real world, he's not valued because he's not bringing anything to that. You know, he's just like, I want to be a doctor, and they're like, you can't. Or he's like, I want to be a lifeguard, but I can't swim. So he's not even getting the things that he thinks. That he wants. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, and a lot of this manosphere stuff, though, it gets you in by like talking a lot about self-help. And it might start like you know, clean your room up. It might be like, you know, you should work out, you know, you should pray or meditate or whatever, which are all, you know, all good things. Like, you know, all good things that, you know, you could potentially be doing. But then it very quickly spirals into like, into something else. And it's basically also think like, because the way society is structured, it's not catered to all people. And that means men specifically, and men, I think, who also come into this, because it tells you that the world is a certain way and broken because of feminism, or women are keeping you down, or all of these things, or there's certain types of men that get all the women, and that's why you can't get a woman. So you got to be more like that. So it tells you all these things that aren't true. So you're basically pointing at the wrong things, like you're targeting the wrong things for what is wrong with society or you personally, like as a result of maybe the way you're raised or where you live or, you know, what you look like even, you know. A lot of it is like you need to have a certain type of like jaw structure, you know, jaws are size. You familiar with this? It's like jaws exercise. So like you put like this kind of rubber kind of grip thing in your teeth and you're like, out your jaw, and it's supposed to like chisel your jaw. It's bullshit. Your jaw is a bone. Like you can't, like, you have muscles in your face, but you can't work them out like that. You know, it's, yeah. So like, and I do think like there is something to be said for being the best version of yourself and improving yourself, but that's more looking inwards than outwards and like external blame, you know. And if you're putting yourself out in the world and you're looking at women like they're targeting you, so they're going to take all your money or they're going to cheat on you at the first opportunity. I want a girl who's a virgin and who's 19 years old or whatever. Like if you're looking for all these things, that's ultimately not going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. Even if you trick somebody into marrying you, like that will unravel like eventually, you know. I mean, how many times do people talk about like they met somebody when they started working on themselves and put boundaries in place and, you know, and they meet somebody and realize that this isn't right for me. And, you know, so you meet somebody else, you know, like these are all things that you can put in place. And I've said this before, and I can't remember where I heard or read this, but it's this thing of like, and I should point out like ranking systems are arbitrary. Like somebody, you know, like people will be like, that girl's a 9, that guy's a 6 or whatever, you know what I mean? But if you look at that ranking system, basically it breaks down to, and I think I've even mentioned this on the show, that any person, but it refers specifically to guys, can be like a 7, you know? And all it is, you know, finding clothes that fit you, doesn't even have to be expensive, personal grooming, take care of yourself, get an okay haircut, maybe put some moisturizer on every now and then or some sunscreen, you know, work on your fitness and just work on yourself, whether that be career, hobbies, like be interesting, make, you know, find things that interest you, you know, not things that you think will impress others. Because a lot of this other manosphere stuff focuses around like you have to have a certain type of job and present yourself a certain type of way, which is just, it's not true. Because a lot of these guys,
it's exhausting.
It's not even who you really are or who you really want to be ultimately. It might be who maybe your friends or your dad or somebody like expects you to be, but those people aren't that either, you know. It's cosplay.
It's in the end finding out who you are, because once you do that, then you meet other people who are aligned with you,
really. Absolutely. And a lot of people that I'm drawn to, and I'm not even talking about in relationships, I mean in general, they have worked on themselves and they have interests and they've worked on their like conversation skills. And that's another thing, like I'm doing now where I'm just talking at you. But, you know, when you meet people, like ask questions, be genuinely curious, approach women like you would literally anybody, you know, because they're also people. They're not some mystery box, you know, that you have to like untangle and they're playing mind games with you or whatever. And again, there are people like that exist that do all the dating games and whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not worth your time. I'm talking about if you approach a person like a person and you are happy in yourself, then that will work eventually, probably, maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's most likely to end up with the best case scenario, right, which is someone that has similar values. And
you also might be like, I don't even maybe want that. Maybe I don't want to be in a relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I want a family, maybe I don't. Maybe I'm gay. You know, people figure that out. There's a lot of that in here. There's a lot of like self-hating people who do struggle with their sexuality. There's a lot of that in there. Like
in the manosphere.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you hear about like a guy who's like a preacher and espousing all these values and it turns out that they've been soliciting like gay prostitutes or whatever? It happens like all the time, you know, like that. And that this again stems from like that self-hatred kind of thing, you know, which you then lashing out. with, you know.
Mm. Mm. So bringing it back to Barbie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he thought it was about horses or whatever. That's why Ken was doing it.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Do you think that it does in any way for people or for men or young people who don't understand what patriarchy is or what it's like to live inside a patriarchy?
Yeah.
Do you think it is a helpful movie in that way, or do you think actually they'll miss the point of that?
I think a lot of people will get the point of it and do. And I think there's some people who like might just be like, that was fun, or I hated that for whatever reason, because that's what movies are, you know.
Mm.
People experience all like a range of emotions. But I think the messaging in there is clear enough where, like, you can see it, you know. You might not like it necessarily, but, you know, you can see it. And I think it's really interesting at the end where like, the Kens don't even get equal footing in Barbie land, you know. They talk about they might get, like, a senator in who's not on the Supreme Court but a little bit lower. And then the resolution is, well, you know, eventually it's going to be they're going to have the same powers that women – powers and responsibility that women have in the real world, you know, the joke being that it is not equal in the real world.
Exactly,
and not even women, it's just like anybody. Yeah.
Queer people, people with disabilities, basically anyone other than like white men.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, it's such a worthwhile movie to go
because I think if you
again,
but it's interesting, obviously. I think that throwing that in place, because like if you were critical saying like the Kens didn't even get what they wanted, then that would be you acknowledging that the real world women and minorities don't get what they wanted.
Mm.
Because the ending is the Kens get the same level of responsibility that like women have in the real world. So that would be you acknowledging that the real world is also not balanced.
Unbalanced, exactly. Yeah. Unless you think that, well, no, men are better than women and men should have more power and responsibility.
Mm.
Who knows?
Anyway, I don't know if that answered any of your questions. Those weren't the thoughts I had last week. I can't remember what my thoughts were specifically.
I probably shouldn't have cut you off last
week.
I should have just let you keep going. But that was really interesting. Thank you very much. If you too have a suggestion or a
comment. These people are grifting. They're just getting money off you. They're trying to get you to do drop shipping or like sign up for a course or whatever.
This is the manosphere stuff.
Oh, like okay. It's a total grift. They will ask you for money for courses or whatever, or to like maybe subscribe to like bigsandwich.co, for example, or something like that. But no, it is. It's literally just like their business is like you are the business. They're talking about starting businesses. For them, the business is you getting money out of you. Getting you to buy courses and then spread their message through TikTok or whatever to get more people on board. It's literally how Andrew Tate like started. His thing was like an affiliate program where like if you got people to sign up through TikTok or whatever, then you would get a cut of that money also. Like it was a pyramid scheme. It is a pyramid scheme.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wowza. Mm. All right. Well, on that note, on that lovely enlightening note, oh, God, so depressing.
Yeah.
If you too would like to write into Suggestible, you can. It's justforpod@gmail.com.
Or leave a review.
Exactly. You totally can.
Just like Rufio.
Oh, here he goes.
Stop biting my hand. Rufio1617. 5-star. Just do it in app. It says, this is where the fun begins. You familiar with that quote?
No.
From Star Wars.
Ah.
I just started listening as I've been a Weekly Planet listener for years and this was a pleasant surprise. I've already looked into a few of the recommendations and I can say that I am hooked. Stop. You're hurting me. You're biting my hand. Thank you, Rufio. Do you have any more letters or are we going
to
leave it there?
No, that's it. That's it.
Sick.
Thank you as always to Royal Collings for editing this week's episode. Thank you to Maisie for running our social media.
The socials.
Thank you to everyone who came to my tour as well and my shows. I did the final show in Sydney. It was so wonderful.
Now you're taking some time.
Really appreciate
to
it. And now I'm taking some time off because I am tired.
Yeah,
I'm a tired old lady.
So I'm just trying to hold this dog at bay while
I know,
it tries to
goodness,
maul me.
So crazy. Mm. But yeah, if you're interested in anything to do with my album, you can head to my website, claire20.com. All the information is there.
I'm going to take my two dogs.
Digital.
They've teamed up on me, Claire.
Oh, no. Anyway, you can download my music there and find merch and all the things. And that's it.
Thank you,
as always, to everyone for everything.
All right. So you seem tired.
I'm so tired.
Maybe you should have recorded today, which is when I wanted to record.
I know, but I don't always listen.
This is the
time
manosphere.
Is a construct.
This
and
is
I
the
was
manosphere
too busy
talking.
Hanging with my friends and playing.
I'm asserting myself.
Hanging with my daughter, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Till next week. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.